Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Well, it feels like summer out here when it didn't like during the course of the week. Summer Madness, which I touched in my heart so deeply, reminds me of my lovely, incomparable Fortaleza, 88 and 97 every day, humidity. But it's a great football day. Yesterday's weather was more football-like. Today is more likable. Jets against the Dolphins. And we've got baseball still happening. Mets stayed alive by winning the game that had to win. Yankees will open their division series at home against the hypocrisy of it all. You know, these would be the Indians, but you call them Guardians. But to take back all the horrible, terrible things that you did to them. You know, so you change the name. The idea was to change your ways way back then, not change your name way back now. The hypocrisy of America. As Don King said, only in America. We will open up, as always, with Sam Cooke on a Sunday, gospel music. Gene is here. All-knowing Gene. Birthday, Edgar. So I know we'll talk about some things. And again, Gene has educated us. Another rule to impede the greatness. Although it did. Or a great black athlete. Doc Stanley Sports In Depth, Blog Talk, Ben and Christian Carvalho is now the greatest gospel singer of all time. Opening the show like he does every show. And he was the conduit to gospel singers coming into secular music. Sam Cooke, Mr. Cooke, opens the show.
In the Bible days, she had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, "Oh,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, let's jump into a quick prayer before we start our game. Good Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for last night, laying down this morning, getting up, as my mother used to say, clothed in our right mind. We thank you for food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, and more importantly, but that was paid, that wasn't made a long time ago on a hill called Calvary. All honor to you and your darling son in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So I got Gene. I got the birthday boy here. And, you know, Gene, you continue just enhance us with your intellect and your genius. And I tell you, folks, you hear things here that you don't hear any place else. And, Gene, again, let's talk about Gillen, the horse Gillen, the great punter for the Cleveland Browns. I was told by a sergeant in the military that Paul Brown thought more of him than his son. And you talked about, again, another infiltration to hinder the greatness of a great black athlete, Jim Brown. Now you had to carry and lacrosse to stick out instead of at your chest. Will Chamberlain couldn't dunk your free throws. He couldn't go past the free throw line. Okay, the no dunking rule in NBA, a couple of years, Chamberlain in the league. The no dunking rule implemented in college to stop Ben Lowell Sindhu became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, it's a never-ending story, James, of the constant racial moves to impede the greatness of black athletes.
Yeah. So the one that I was telling you was there was a time when punters were allowed to, you know, like stand like 20 yards behind the line to receive before they, you know, punted. And Horace Gillen was so great at kicking the ball high and far, and the hang time was unbelievable. And he never got blocked, his punt, because he was so far back. So they changed the rule so that you had to be like 15 yards. There's a maximum that you can be behind the line. I think it's 15 yards. But that's an example of changing the rules to, quote, level the playing field. But I wouldn't call it that. But this guy was just so good. And like I said, he never got a punt block because he was so far back. So they made him move up closer. So they might have a chance to block his punts.
You say level the playing field, but in the words of you're being far too kind. Gentlemen, let's walk over to the other section and we can be more free in conversation. Yeah, come on. Doc Stanley Sports and Network, Live Talk Radio on the Fisher and Guard Radio Network. We're here live from MetLife. It is a beautiful football game day. It's a beautiful day to play football, and it was a beautiful day for the Giants in London, who won a real away home game, beating the Green Bay Packers in London, being down 4-3. And winning 27-24. So Edgar, when you tell me, Edgar, is that they shut out Aaron Rodgers that second half then?
Yeah, did they? This is an impressive win from the Giants, and I've been critical of their first couple wins, and this game has really impressed me, and I hate a lot of things about the Giants, but seems like they have a good coach on that team.
Well, you know, what I got to do here too, Glenn, I have to question, why is it 3-2 and Aaron Rodgers throwing the football down in the red zone?
It's still boggling my mind right around now. But you know, sometimes I pick a quote from, I think, Doc Rivers. He said, sometimes people try to play hero ball instead of ball. You know, so sometimes, you know, they just want to be the hero and you know, they take it upon themselves to, you know, pull it out instead of doing what's best for the team. I'm not sure if that's, you know, being overly critical, but, you know, I'm that sounds like he checked that off and decided to pass instead of you know, run for the 2 yards. So it's hard to get in someone's head, but that's what I think.
The truth is the truth. We're going around the NFL. The Vikings are up on the Chicago Bears 14-3. Getting some of that game here now. And we'll get some other scores. You know, too, you talk about the Rucker. And, you know, what a legendary place it was. We've got a nothing score Tampa Bay against the Atlanta Falcons. Tampa coming off a loss against the Chiefs. Let's talk about Rucker. You know, the history.
Wow.
You know, you talked about how they used to be, and Tiny talked about how Dr. J came and he'd be sitting up on the bridge, up on the fence. You got the chance for me to talk about how Julius just made a serious mistake not seeing Dr. J. Now, he said he went to Philly. Pat Williams said he didn't want to. 30 points from him, 30 points from McGinnis. They won 20 him, 20 McGinnis, and, of course, they won the
white guy,
20 points. I said, you know, America would rather lose the white athletes than with black athletes. But, you know, let's talk about the Rucker. Hal Gaines, Connie Hawkins. Let's talk a little bit about the legendary Rucker.
The Rucker was one of those tournaments where they didn't care who you were. If you didn't play hard, they would boo you off the court, you know. I remember seeing Willis Reed, Connie Hawkins. I say Julius was, of course, there. There were many girls who played there. Yeah, Dean Memminger played there for a while. It was a who's who of ball players. I remember, I think Billy Paltz from the Nets even. She used to show up all the time with a couple of kids in with him. But it was the best of the best. And like I said, it was something on Sunday. I would get there at 2 o'clock for a 5 o'clock game just so I could possibly see because I was so short. And sometimes I'd hang off the fence and watch these guys. But it was really, you know, a good tournament with excellent ball players. Millbank used to have a great team all the time. They used to dominate for a while until Julius and Charlie Scott and those guys got old enough to play. But they were some rock'em sock'em games, and I'd put them up against any pros anywhere.
You know, you look at the ABA. The 10-3 Buffalo Bills lead right now against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Cleveland's up 14-3 over the Chargers. I told you 14-3 Minnesota over Chicago. It's 10-3 Seahawks over the Saints. No score with the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Pittsburgh trailing 10-3 against that's good for you right now. We talk about that, and you look at the hypocrisy of the ABA deemed as the inferior league, and yet when they merged, I remember David Johnson said, you know, my first year in the NBA, I made all first teams NBA, and my team won the division. And my first year in the ABA, I made second team all ABA. And George Irby comes to the NBA, and Julius told me, I said, you know, Julius, when you guys merge, who's going to be the guy that surprised everybody? He said, well, they know about me. Know about George, me and George Kirby. He said, but Ice is going to be the man that surprised everybody. George Kirby, most straight scoring titles. He's one of the most scoring titles by any guard in the history of the league until Michael Jordan come along. And you look at the guys who cemented their teams. Maurice Lucas was the key behind the Portland Trailblazers. George McGinnis led the NBA in scoring at the forward spot his first year in. They were talking about Ice winning the scoring title. We talk about Julius coming in and winning the first NBA ABA All-Star game, taking his team to the finals. David Thompson, like I said, his team won the division the first year in the NBA. So that only proves to me, Edgar, George McGinnis told me one time, I said, George, what's the difference between the NBA and the ABA? And he said, CBS. It could be a TV contract.
Wow. I didn't know that was the deal. I used to even listen to the ABA on the radio. I was a big fan of the ABA with the red, white, and blue ball. I got used to that watching them. But I think they weren't going to let that Nets team into the league in the way it was because there was a chance they might have won the ABA championship. That was a great team they had there.
Dr. J. They had just got Johnny Archibald.
Super John Williamson.
Super John.
Larry Keenan was a beast, too, you know. It was a great team they had there. So I think that they kind of said, no, we're not going to let them come in as a team. Because it was a good, a lot of guys in the place might say that. You know, they couldn't let a new team come in and win the championship. So there's a lot of, you know, speculation as to why.
And, you bring up another good point, too, now that you boggle the mind. Because, you know, you look how the Sixers had a 2-0 lead against Portland. And they lost 4 straight games.
Oh.
And you can't think, we're going back, we can't have Julius Erving come in and win a championship his first year.
I'm in agreement with that. I watched Julius try to guard everybody on that team. He was trying to do everything by himself. And they kind of said, well, they were questioning his ability, but Julius was trying to do it all, you know. And, like I said, it would have been an embarrassment that these – it was like the AFL, the NFL. It was like these new upstarts come in and win the whole thing. And they had a good enough team to do that. And I really think that had a lot to do with Julius not coming in on the Nets team. You know, this is my opinion. And a bunch of other people I thought were the same. But, you know, a lot of ABA players came in and became Hall of Famers. In
David Thompson. Jordan Dennis,
sure.
Marcus Gilmore, Terry Serving, Moses
right.
Malone.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
That's just fine. The other forward, too, Dan Issel.
Issel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Dr. Sandy, of course, Dr. Credo on Special Guard Network. We're going around the score of the league. The Seahawks are leading the Saints 10-3. The Jets here would have put a baseball score here. It's about, well, it's 5-0. Over the Dolphins. No, these are your guys, Glenn. And we got to look at that whole thing with the Tua here. Concussion, allowed to play. Now the guy that allowed it has been fired. You know, the old days, you couldn't play with concussions. Then they changed the rules. But, you know, mine is looking bad here. Tua thing, fine, one of the few black coaches, fine, a winning black coach, paying a coach to lose game. The Dolphins are looking more like tuna fish.
it's hard for me to
take that.
I'm in agreement. I was, you know, when they let Brian Flores, you know, go under some really, you know, questionable reasons. I'm still a little pissed off of them about that. But, you know, like you say, you know, in the old days with the concussion, it's not that long ago when they started taking these concussions seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the NFL paid these folks, but they didn't take any responsibility, okay? So, you know, concussions, you know, was brought to light by, I think it was an African doctor.
Yeah.
And
sure was. Made a movie about it. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, my daughter did her my daughter, who's a doctor, did a paper that's been cited about heading in soccer and its relationship to concussions. There's a correlation. So, you know, the head, you know, you keep banging the brain up against the skull. You know, you can do that for so long. Look what happened to Muhammad Ali. Look at all those folks, you know. It's not rocket science, you know, to say that this head has to be protected.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take a hit like that. I mean, quarterback can take a pot shot forever, but to let him back in the game that quickly, like, I question that all the way up to the top of the president. I don't just blame the doctor, because I have a feeling a lot of those doctors are hamstrung by who's paying them. So, again, maybe that's a conspiracy theorist, but there's no way he should have been coming back so quickly after a concussion like that. No way.
Well, you know, as late Bill Smith Jr. would say, Glenn, a point well taken. You know, yeah, a point well taken. I mean, Chargers have just scored to get back in their game against the Browns. A touchdown run gets them in. So now we've got a little closer football game there. Washington trailing Tennessee 7-3. I don't know how many names they're going to have. You know, the hypocrisy of this Edgar and Glenn is you change the name of the Redskins to this new name. You change the name of Indians to the Guardians, but it didn't change the horrible, despicable, racist,
things that were done. So, I mean, what does it change the name? It didn't change the situation. So, you know, the hypocrisy of America is to do a name change. So now you become sensitive about a name change. You were sensitive about killing men and women and children. You weren't killing about giving them smallpox and blankets. You weren't shame about poisoning the waters. As you know, we talk so much about Queen Elizabeth of England was one of the big killers of, you know, countries of people of color. You know, but I just look at the hypocrisy of, you know, what does a name change mean? You know, what, excuse me, what the hell is that? You change the name. You should have changed the way it's long ago. And sad and touching, things are not going to change. But I'm just saying, gentlemen, you know, look at the hypocrisy. What's this bullshit about a name change? You know what I mean? And it's sad. I really put in here the September 1st, 1971, you had the first all-black lineup. Pittsburgh Pirates, Danny Murtaugh, Albert First, only guy who's going 7-for-7, Jack Hernandez, a shortstop, Dave Cash, the third, Manny Sanguin behind the plate, Doc Ellis on the mound, the legendary, in conference, Bert Clemente in left field, Hall of Famer, and the great Willie Stargell on the left, and Gene Kline in center field. The first time you had an all-black lineup, and I heard, you know, once that happened, the fans in Pittsburgh was like, you know, they wouldn't come to the game to the all-black lineup. You know, 1960, the Pittsburgh sports writers told the out-of-town sports writers, don't vote for Roberto Clemente for the MVP, even though he led the team in RBI, won a gold glove. You know, gentlemen, as often things change, they don't. They just remain the same and worse.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they want to do these public acts so they can hide behind all the atrocities that all these things that has happened over the years. Name changes like the Guardians and the Redskins, not going to do much. And they still have the team. If they're really going to change the name, they still have the Braves. And the fans still do the chop, which is just as offensive. But, you know, they might get public pressure just to change that name soon as well.
Yo, I remember, gentlemen, accidentally supposed to block that bit in the touchdown. The Bears are continuing to being bullied. Minnesota just scored again, so it's 20-3 right now. So I look at that. Drew Sheridan went to the Nets. They won the NBA championship. ABA championship. They were having tendency problems. And come out there. And they were losing teams. And two white fans interviewed me and said, well, how can you come to the hockey games? And one guy said, there's more white faces. Asked another guy, said, you know anything about hockey? He said, no, but I'm going to learn. You know, and to dovetail on what you talked about, when, you know, Roy Bowe offered jury serving to the Knicks, to the indemnity infraction, supposedly, and Michael Burke, who I personally charges just scored, of course, he can get. I asked him, was that true? He turned down Jerry Sherman. And I think, if, you know, if Jerry Sherman goes to the Knicks, Michael Jordan ain't winning the six NBA championships. But again, it validates the fact that, you know, there's a certain complexion of people that they want. And, you know, fans are not, you know, fans are not going to come to see a whole bunch of black guys or Latin guys play. You know, 21st century, one-fifth in there. And we've had two black mayors here. We've had a black president, a black vice president, a black female now on the Supreme Court, and the Yankees and the New York Giants, who just won the day, and not remotely thinking about a black man. You know, black future, validating, you know, as often things change, they remain the same and worse. Baseball-wise, I mean, Glenn Beggar, you got to look at DeGrom and Switzer. Go to Atlanta, got a one-game lead. Mm-hmm. And both guys lose games. And they're talking about Aaron Judge, the kind of money he should get at 31, some people say. But you had no problem giving Switzer that money at 38. He ain't doing the job.
You know, it took Hank Aaron a long time to get $100,000. You know what I mean? It took Willie Mays a long time to get $100,000. I think Yastrzemski had one good year. He went from 30 to $100,000. But it took these other guys much longer to get to that level. I mean, this is really not new, you know. And interestingly enough, you want to talk about things like that. If I can just change the subject quickly to the black quarterbacks, there were
quarterbacks. I can't remember the guy's name, but they were quarterbacks who were black who were starting, and their salaries were based on performance. And they were making less than their Caucasian counterparts who were sitting on the bench.
No, just can't. Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, Doug Williams, who won the Super Bowl for the Redskins, Marlon Briscoe, the first black quarterback in the NFL. You know, now they're screaming about a man out there in Denver now. All of a sudden, it's his fault that they're losing. And, you know, it's sports in our society. You don't see such overblown racism as you see in the military, sports, okay, in the police department. And, you know, it's just the way it is. Buffalo 10-3 over Pittsburgh, 3-3, the Texans, and the Jaguars 6-0. New England is winning their game right now. And, you know, this baseball thing too, gentlemen. You know, we're going to be playing baseball during Thanksgiving.
You have to wear a sweatshirt
with a jacket on.
Yeah, Sox County Sports did a lot of stuff right on Christian Garland Network. We're here live. Because you're an Miami guy, it looks like the Dolphins have lost another quarterback here.
Yep. You
never should have left here.
Yeah, I remember the Jets had a guy named Johnny Jones when Richard Todd was a quarterback. I can't think of who the other one was, but Joe Namath said straight up that he should have been the starter. And, you know, they kind of ignored that. They buried that, you know, because he was a very versatile quarterback, and he was an intelligent guy, too, you know. But, you know, this is that was one of the things
that the complexion of the connection, as I would say.
Well, you know, look, they made Chuck know. Joe Gilliam.
Jefferson Street Joe Gilliam.
They made him sit him down. The season ticket holders are saying, look, they went to Rooney and said, no, we're not going to be here if this guy...
The quarterback came in after Bradshaw got hurt. One story injured. In fact, he hit. Bradshaw had asked to be traded. That's how good Jefferson was, and he knew he was, you know, he was in his class. And it brought some a racial divide in the Steelers, who said, well, wait a minute, let's forget about the main black quarterback. He's the guy that's won 4 straight games. He's the guy that's winning 4, so why are we bringing Bradshaw back? And Terry Bradshaw, along with Troy Aikman, along with Eli Manning, who's been the most overrated quarterbacks that ever sit on the gridiron. Now, you talk about Bradshaw. Bradshaw wasn't the leader of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was me and Joe Green. So it was that defense that was the key to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, we're telling our county sports network, the Pittsburgh Steelers network, saying happy birthday to Edgar Greeno here. But, you know, if you hear things here, you hear any place else, you know. And, you know, it's the truth. You raise your hand, and what's that?
Happy birthday.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to play that to him.
Many happy birthdays.
Yeah, he had his birthday yesterday. And
young blood.
Good people, too. You know, good people. You know, quality stock. And I just want to wish him happy birthday. Stevie Wonder said that for him, too. Take a little, let Stevie come and say happy birthday. But, Glenn, you know, Giants won today. Big win for them. I don't think they can beat the other big teams in their division. They can't beat Philly. They can't beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is just, you know, a little window dressing.
They're still rebuilding. You know what I mean? So I think some teams didn't take them seriously. You know, it's a long season. How many games they played so far?
Five.
16. Yeah, it's a long season. I learned. I just turned 70. I learned you just can't get excited too soon. I've done it with my teams in the past, and I learned my lesson.
When was your birthday, man?
In December. Back in December.
Okay, so December was your birthday.
Six.
Okay, day before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. But the Giants, like I said, I'm gonna wait till, you know, a couple of games before I really start.
Yeah.
You know, and we were just talking about that. You don't want to get too excited. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising to me, but I did not expect them to be 1-1. I thought it would probably be one and four. So the fact that they're doing this is shocking for the fans, the organization, the GM themselves. Like you said, they're still rebuilding. The question is, what are they going to do with Daniel Jones at this
point?
That's for you, yeah. You know, it, you're right. And even now with this extra added game, what a tremendous catch. Watch this. So I was going to spin. Tell you right. Tell you right.
Oh, wow. All interception. He took it away. Wow.
You know, let's talk about something. Too, because, you know, Dana Rose said something about Lamar Jackson. He said, you know, they're talking so much against him because he's not doing his contract negotiations, Glenn and Edgar. He doesn't have an agent. So now the agent, you know, not having an agent, that's the guy that's going to make him. That's the guy that's going to push him to other areas. So, you know, there's this thing about he's kind of like an outlaw. But, you know, so anytime, you know, you do something black from a positive perspective, they're going to find, you know, some kind of way. But Roland said, hey, man, you know, they're upset at him because what he's doing, he's, hey, call me. I can tell you what I want. Call me. You know, why I have to have a third guy to pay him to tell you what I'm telling him. You're going directly to the source. Is that a black quarterback up there in Minnesota?
No, that's a running back.
Oh, put him back in. Okay.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook running the ball.
Okay, good. All right, just drop that. So, you know, but what he said, Glenn, and you were one of the top businessmen in our time, you know, you did a great job with that Cal Ripken. I had never been in my life to an affair like you had. The grandeur of people who I never went to a place where you went to the bar and they said, what do you want? Not hate. You can only have. We don't have. Had never been to an affair. At the Great Wall Frazier's bar, but had never been to a place that whatever you wanted, you could get. Had never been to a place where their set in your affair, the first black governor and the first black mayor in New York City, and your affair, and the only guard to lead the NBA in scoring in the city. At that affair, the greatest all-around guard in the history of the game, outside of Oscar Robertson, Walt Frazier, and one of the greatest basketball players, and people can talk, the greatest sports and analyst was Cal Ramsey, along with Bob Wolf. And if you listen to Cal Ramsey, you understood what was happening, why the pick was made, where the pass went. And you had all those people there, not to mention yourself, one of the elite businessmen of our time, the lovely wife, and you just, you know, the horde of intellectuals, and you know, some of both sides of the ledger, but had never been to a fair. You didn't do a very good job. You didn't do a great job. You did an outstanding job beyond compare. And I was really sad. It was something that I looked for. You know, that and Christmas, I look for every year.
Yeah, again, it was because of Cal. I knew Cal since I was 12 years old. It was not that much after he was cut by the Knicks, but he was the recreation director in the development that I grew up in. But Dolly King told him, look, you can't get your bona fides through education. So he went back to school. He became an educator. He worked on his craft as an analyst. He took speech lessons. And like you said, he became an ambassador for basketball in New York.
Well, I mean, right.
And so I looked up to him, and I still run his scholarship fund, but it was really the people who wanted to be there, not so much just the free food and stuff, which was great, but just to be next to guys like you knew, like Mel Davis, because they love Cal so much. So I'm fortunate to know him, and he's fortunate enough to ask me to help with the event. So that's one of the amazing, and like I said, Cal did a lot for me, and it was his persona that had I think it was a wrestler that came. I mean, he might have been the strongest man in the world at one point.
Yeah,
you know, people like that. You Kiki Vandeweghe. I mean, you name it.
Right.
And the politicians, Charlie Rangel, David Tate, they were all there because they all love Cal. So I just tried to extend it to, you know, past the Garden and the New York NYU folks. I tried to get the folks from uptown to come down and enjoy as well.
It's a great affair, and you're showing your humbleness and the humbleness of Cal and the greatness of both of you guys, because, you know, the respect that people had for your service to others, you mentioned your faith in moving here on Earth, Muhammad Ali. Life's most system of urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. And as much as you sitting here taking a back seat to no one for that. That was the greatest affair New York had, and it said a lot about what people thought about both you and Calvin. And I'm thankful to God to be there. It was nothing like it, man.
It wouldn't have been the same without you, Doc. It wouldn't have been the same without you.
Stop it, man. I just want to thank you.
I just
want to thank you. You're the only person that knows a man of faith. But it's a feather in my cap to say that you, Glenn, are a friend of mine. You too, Edgar, man. I remember you called me personally. Hey, Mel, man, I'm doing so-and-so. So, first of all, the coach is telling me that you're on the team. That's what you tell me. The next thing you get there, you start in the picture. You can't beat that, man. You can't beat that. And it's not like the joke the guy said, you know, his friend passed away, man, and then his friend came to him. He said, how's things in heaven? They got a baseball team up there. Y'all play shortstop. He said, yeah. He said, yeah. And you know what? You pitch it next Tuesday.
You in the rotation.
You starting. So right here, Cleveland, that L.A. game is getting close, 14-10. You know, we got Bridgewater water here. If you guys got to get back to the game, have some problem. No, Bridgewater never, I felt Glenn, Edgar never should have left here. Oh, I got another call coming here. What we got here? Hold on, let me here.
Hey,
can you lose my 973 caller?
Hey,
who's calling?
It's your Jersey guy, remember?
Oh, hey, how you been? Yeah, my man. Listen, we're talking a little quick. Bridgewater, I thought, never should have left here. I thought when you had Dom, he should have been the mentor to him. You know, and then you got rid of Bridgewater, then you put the third string guy. You know, Bridgewater was a franchise quarterback. Okay, he came here, and he goes to New Orleans, he saves the Saints,
mm-hmm.
so much so that Reeves comes back a week early, you know, about his job. And then I don't understand how New Orleans got rid of him.
I don't know that much about Bridgewater, what you're telling me, but, you know, I've seen these type of decisions made that really are just I don't know. It's just counter logical. I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. So, I've seen moves like that. There was a guy who left the Jets, was in the finals the next year, I think, with Philly in a couple of years. Went to UCLA or USC, the quarterback. He left here, and then he went to the finals. I might have gone to the Super Bowl with Philly. I had a Hispanic last name. Wow, I can't think of it right now. But, you know.
Love has changed. They remain the same. My man from across the water, Philly. In fact, we're across the water with you. Now, what's on your mind? What can we talk about when we got you here?
I mean, Jets looking pretty good here. And I think with, Tua being absent today, they might be able to take advantage of this game.
Well, I thought they should have played a whole lot better in the Cincinnati game. But, if you make the wrong plays at the right time for the team, that was the key. People forget that they shut out Cincinnati in that last quarter, but they dropped a couple of key passes. And, you know, like I said, it just turns the complexion of the game around here. Right now, as the Dolphins continue to fall apart, beating these guys is kind of, you can't put a feather in their cap. The Lions, Patriots are leading 13-0, and they just got another touchdown, so they're running rough side with the foes up there. Baseball-wise, the Yankees will be facing the Guardians, and the Mets are trying to stay alive here as they play a game tonight. And I thought something, gentlemen, with going to win, for the one-game lead and the Grom and Scherzer on the mound. You know, if you win one game, you tie, and you won the division. I think, you know, it may not be so, but those two losses may have cost Buck Showalter MVP of the year, because now we got to look at the guy out in L.A., Roberts. Got to look at Roberts now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question it's Dusty Baker in the American League. No question. But we've got to look at the fact now, and the only reason why that Buck may still win it, because he, as I always say, the complexion of the connection is New York guy. And, you know, I'm just saying, you know, how New York works positively, those, as I always say, the complexion of the connection, and those who are not. How did Willie Randle not win Manager of the Year when Joe Girardi got fired, had a losing record, and won Manager of the Year? How did Daryl Strawberry not win the MVP the year he led the league in home runs to over 100 RBI? His team won the division.
Yeah.
Same way Gibson's team won the division. You know, and, you know, when guys like Don Mattingly and David Geddy tell you, two of the finest people, you know, these guys are not white guys. They're white guys. Great human beings, credit to the race. Is it the spin on New York is so negative all the time? So, you know, I'm looking at some things here, but I think Bob would be deserving. But we got to look at Roberts. We got to look at Roberts. You know, and he did so with some injuries in his team. He's won the most games in baseball. And, you know, I think that Atlanta series could be the difference in Buck getting it or not getting it. I think if anybody gets it but Dusty Baker, who can get it? 105 wins, 106 wins. You know, he lost his ace pitcher who's going to wind up winning the Cy Young Award. Okay, he lost another starting pitcher. Okay, he had some injuries. He had a rookie shortstop and won the division. So, in my question, we're talking about Dusty Baker unequivocally. Manager in the American League,
mm-hmm.
You got Buck Showalter and Roberts as the managers. I mean, who's your pick, Lenny?
I think you're right. You're right on Dusty for sure, because he lost his all-star center fielder. He lost his all-star shortstop, and he's still in first place and the number one seed in the league. Most people can't do that. Most managers can't do that, especially in this day and age. As for National League, I think you're right. I would personally give it to Buck. Just for the fact that...
Well, his team wasn't supposed to win.
His team,
well,
right.
Roberts had a better team than supposed to win.
The defending champ for
the
division.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers always have a great team, always. And their two best pitchers... Both get injured in the year. One of them you don't have.
That's enough. You're right. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good point. Okay, a man from across the water, and we're here with you. You agree?
I agree.
Yeah, and you have some great points. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I that's the thing about Robin's problem too, is that you know you were supposed to win. You know, you're the guy that scored 22 points a game, so you got 30 tonight. Big deal. You know, but the guy comes off the bench and scores 20. And that's it right now. We're looking at the score. The Jets are, I think, still leading here at halftime. It hasn't been the best of displays, but a W is a W. You know, and you know, they told the story about Joe Namath, and he's out with Ed Marinaro, and there's this girl that was winking at him and everything. And at the end of the night, you know, Joe winks at her. Ed says, "You know, Joe, you're Joe Namath. You know, that's that." Miss America, Joe says, "Hey, look, hey, Miss America is not coming through the door right now, all right?" You know, he said, "Hey, no, Miss America is not coming through the door right now." You can't. I think, and I talked about this, you know, if Joe Namath was in the era of the shotgun, nobody ever would have touched him. He was the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards. Okay, if they had the shotgun and Joe Namath's era, him, Daryl LaMonica, Elway, nobody would touch the guy. For my money, my number one quarterback has always been Joe. But the measure of Joe Namath is that he told the story of his friend Linwood, and they came out. Okay, update.
It looks like Zach Wilson just ran the ball for a short gain and scored a touchdown. That's our take the lead, 19-7.
Okay, so the Jets are going to a halftime lead, playing against the batted.
Let's help me hold on with that.
What was that?
Well, because in last week's game, they had a big lead. They lost the lead, and they're fighting back to get. You know, the problem is, you know, that's when in the game, trying to keep on the lead before, you know, you blow it. You know, the offense has to watch it.
Well, you know, the thing is, good point, but, you know, at least you should be in a position to have a lead to blow. You know, the Giants 27-22 over Green Bay. Now the Chargers are leading the Browns 17-4. It's 21-10. Chicago losing to the Minnesota. So, you know, the fortunes have changed around, you know, over there for the Bears. And, you know, it just scored. It was 2:38 left at the second quarter. The Jets looking like they're going to take a halftime to get their new quarterback, their young quarterback back. So this could be win number two. Great catch there, show it on the replay. Dr. Stanley, Sports of the Block Talk Radio, my freshman guy. Now let's take a quick break. We remember the late great Hal Jackson looking at a player, Little Music, as we remember him on his Sunday morning class. Okay.
But I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind. Don't you mean that?
Okay,
good.
That's it.
If you have to beg, and you know it, please don't keep me, girl.
Never been Hal Jackson on a Sunday morning crisis. But at least he did so well. It didn't take.
Don't keep me, girl.
Ever. Remembered in love.
Yeah, let's
remembering Al Jackson and the Sunday Morning Classics.
Yeah.
Playing some music he would play. Some of the people who knew him. Loved him. And Mr. Holden. Smokey Robinson. One simply Smokey Robinson. And beautiful. The great song writers, one of the great singers, one of the few people inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a single artist. You know, Smokey got the nickname, ready for this one? As everybody in the country. And his favorite uncle came in Cowboy Smokey. Dr. Cowboy Smokey's estate become legendary and immortal in the world of music. Remember Al Jackson on a Sunday, our first performance. The man who said great lines of all time. Nice to be important.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And with that, let's jump back in here. We're across the water with our water brother, Edgar.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM.
Thanks, Larry. 155, two-minute warning here. Look at some scores around the league. Washington's up 10-7 over Tennessee. The Giants won a big game, a really
okay
game, as they beat the Green Bay Packers in London, 27-22.
Yeah.
The Browns, who once had a lead, and they're showing their play where the reverse was their first touchdown. Now he's water one. Now their big thing. Now we are across the water. What we have here, Jacksonville is taking a look here now. What's happening under the plan of review? Houston was leading Jacksonville 6-3. We've got New England up 13-0 on winning their game
on
Foxborough. Okay, they're beating Detroit 13-0. Looking at, got some games later on tonight. The Jets are here, Lenny, winning their game. So both New York teams have won. It is the hope that the New York team will win again tonight as the Mets find, they should do or die. Well, now it's do or die for both teams. Let's try to get you another play here real quick. And comes up short. Washington. Holding Tennessee from getting into the end zone. It's third and goal. We'll get you the update on that. Hold on. Was he called in or not? We'll see. If it is.
Jacksonville just made a field goal. Tie up the game, 6-6.
Okay, Washington and Jacksonville tied up 10-10. Cross the water. What's on your mind now? What's happening here? I'm trying to get Destino Lois here. There's some talk, Edgar, and my brother across the water that Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fight is going to be called off, or is in jeopardy of being called off.
Yeah.
Boy,
you know,
let me
get good fight. That's then gets out the window.
Is it out the window?
No, I'm saying just when you think you're going to get one, then might just.
Oh
might
I heard
especially declared yet.
I heard there's some talk contract wise. But, I don't understand Crawford. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play. Let me get our man in the boxing part. Let's do one more song, Al Jackson, and we'll come back. And I'm coming out, but hang on a minute. We do, in memory of Al Jackson, you know what? Here's what I'm going to play. I'm going to play a song that a lot of people don't remember. But this is Earth, Wind, and Fire, okay? When they had their female singer in the group. Keep your head to the sky. Yeah, that's your head to the sky. Look at that brain to the man upstairs. We'll be right back with Christina will join us. We're going to find out about what's the later on Spencer Crawford. Dr. County Sports at Blast Up Radio. And trust in God very much.
Supposedly a home game.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Derrick Henry. Titans just take the lead 14-10. Not yet.
Philip Bailey needs to Reese White. West is the greatest, I think, assembled combination of the singing and musical version, wind and fire. Just trying to the halftime lead here. Pittsburgh getting beat up by the Bills 23 now. 4 PB pass today for Allen. It seems to be prime time when it ain't prime time. He's on his 4 PB pass of the game. Buffalo beating up on the hapless Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, I salute as they have a black head coach and a black defensive coordinator. What do we have now here? Tampa Bay beating up on Atlanta Falcons after getting beat up on by Kansas City. There's nothing there. And So 24-3 now. Buffalo over Pittsburgh. They're just a minute away from the 2 minute warning. But a breather much needed by the Steelers sitting there. Dr. County Sports at Blog Talk Radio and Social Government Network. And we salute our new in-depth colleague, E.T. Birthday, E.T. Egerton is here. Dusty is here. Glenn is here. And across the water. We got to get that show information to some more time. Dr. County Sports at Blog Talk Radio and Social Government Network. Earth, Wind, and Fire. When they had a female. You leaving us?
Yep.
I saw the show, Doc.
Oh, hold on a minute now.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, across the water. You got the Friday show. Still doing the Friday show?
Saturday. No, it's Saturday.
That's okay. Give us the Saturday Times one more time.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, there's a slight change now. I just got the confirmation yesterday. We are now on Saturday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead. One more time. You're on Saturdays now?
All right. We are now on 4 o'clock Eastern time instead of 5 because we have a conflict with another show.
Okay.
So we'll be on from 4 to 6 on Saturdays. The number is still the same, 512-543-4662. I'll repeat it again, 512.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Don't repeat. Hold on.
All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
the number is still the same, 512-543-4662. We're just now an hour earlier.
Okay, so we're still at 512-543-4662, and you're on at 4 p.m. now.
That's correct.
On Saturday.
Yes, that's East Coast time, by the way.
Okay, East Coast time. Let everybody know the name of the show again now.
The Enhanced Sports Show. That's Enhanced with an E, not with an I. Sunday on Social Show with an I.
Okay, the Enhanced Sports Show. It's at 4 on Saturday now, Eastern Standard Time. And the host name one more time, because we've got to spell your name correctly again, too, now. Give us that spelling.
Yes. His name was Lou Tenor from East Hanover, New Jersey.
Okay, Enhanced Sports on Saturdays at 4 p.m. now, 512-543-4662. Dustin, you were here, got you in here before it looked like the Jets with halftime with Bill Wood. But there's a rumor, a vicious rumor, supposedly started, if it is a rumor, by Floyd Mayweather that Spence and Crawford is off, Dustin. What'd you hear?
Yeah. I heard it from Max Kellerman, and your very favorite friend, Dan Raphael. And what Max Kellerman indicated, and this is not far-fetched, but maybe true, that Spence hooked up with Al Heyman, and Al Heyman is playing with the money and not giving Crawford a breakdown of the total purses, even though he's accepted the smaller purse, but they're not telling him what the smaller purse is, so they can keep the money. But the reason Al Heyman and Spence are playing this game, and this is a mind-boggler, is that Spence fears Crawford beating him. He knows that Crawford can beat him. Can you imagine that?
I don't buy that.
But this is what the scribes are saying.
My time, my show. Give me a minute here. I don't buy that he is afraid of him. It could be. My thing here is, I don't care what they're offering Crawford. I said this before. If you think you can beat him, take it. I mean, the Crawford has a record of being an asshole and not making fights, not promoting fights. So what do you care what your percentage is? Just take the percentage, get him in the ring, and beat him. If you can fight him, I mean, I'm not going to know Crawford's record. Hold on. Crawford's record does not show he's fought some elite guys. Oh, you have cleaned up at 130.
Elite guys. Huh? I feel Crawford can beat Spence. That's my,
Dusty.
I don't go along with the bullshit that Spence is afraid of him, but I feel Crawford can beat him.
No. I got no problem with that. Mm. But we just concurred on the thing is that I don't think Spence is afraid of him. But if we're going to lean to somebody, Crawford's track record shows that he is an asshole when it comes to these deals. Aram said himself, supposedly, that he is hard to make fights for. He don't want to promote him. He don't want to make him.
You know that.
You
know that for years.
But here's my thing, too, Dusty. You know, you're a guy who knows this sport. You know what? Take the money. Something is better than nothing if you think you can beat him. My quintessential example of this is Eddie Mustafa Muhammad against Marvin Johnson. Marvin Johnson was the light heavyweight champion of the world. Eddie Misawa said, okay, hey, whatever he wants, give him. Whatever he wants to fight, we'll fight. Whatever he wants, all I want to do is get him in the ring.
And but listen, Doc, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. The fact of the matter is that Al Heyman and Spence are playing with not divulging.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. Take whatever they're going to give you if you feel you can win the fight. Dusty?
If I can beat the dude, I'll
Dusty.
Okay? If I know I can beat the dude, they pay me a dime and he gets a quarter, I don't care. I'll take the dime. But what Crawford's gripe is that they're not being truthful with the sales.
I don't care, Dusty. What does that matter if you're going to take whatever they give you? What does that matter? What are you telling me?
They're shining him for money. Come on, man. Come on.
Dusty, we're saying the same thing. 2 and 2 is 4, and 3 and 1 is 4. It doesn't matter what they're going to pay him. Get him in the ring and fight him. Whatever they're going to pay him is more than what he's making now. He's not making nothing down. Here's another thing, Dusty. Can we trust the word? Can we trust the word of Crawford?
If
there's two liars there, then he's got to be considered the biggest of the two.
How do you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Floyd Mayweather played the same boots with Pacquiao. So what are you talking about? Dusty,
we're not talking about Mayweather. We're not talking about Pacquiao. Yeah. We're talking about Crawford and Spence.
I'm giving you samples. How Floyd Mayweather played with Pacquiao, giving him chump change. Okay, that was all right. I'm telling you that Crawford feels that Spence and Al Heyman are jerking him around. He may be right. Okay, this is all I'm trying to tell you.
We agree with that. What I'm saying is, what's the difference if they jerk him for $15 million or they jerk him for $11 million? They jerked off and go beat this guy, and now you are in control. I mean, I remember when Ali lost to Joe the first time, and the writer said, Joe said, after this fight, you probably don't want no more. Ali said, oh, how wrong he is. He said, Crawford is not a guy that has a lot of credibility. He's not a tremendous talent. But, here's the whole thing. Cut the bullshit and get in the ring. I don't care what they're going to pay you. If you then you can beat them, beat them. Because whatever they pay you, it's more than what you're getting now. If you don't fight them. And the better, the bigger name between the two is Spence. Now, maybe a lot of people feel that Crawford is the better talent. The bigger name is Spence.
Let me tell you something. If I accomplish what Crawford has done, even though he's not supposed to be better than Spence, which I think is bullshit, I'm going to allow them to rob me of my total 40% and let them side me out of my 40%? Come on. That's
10% of something is better than 100% of nothing at all.
Nothing. Well, then I will not go into the freaking ring if I won't get robbed. The hell with that.
That's his prerogative. Yeah. But the point is, Ray said something at the Chavez-Frankie Randall fight, when Frankie Randall became the first guy to officially beat Julio Cesar Chavez. Ray said something, I forget. Sometimes it's not about the money.
He's
about
full of
being
shit.
A champ.
Ray Leonard's full of shit. Because he plays games, it's all about the money for him.
Really?
But that's bullshit.
Dusty,
come on.
But no matter who says it, 2 and 2 is 4. Whether he doesn't believe it or not, he's right. Sometimes it's not about the money.
Right.
It's about, now, of course, no, hold on. Now, here's a perfect example. Larry Holmes, Jerry Cooney. Holmes took $1 million less, okay? He took $1 million less to fight Cooney. He said,
because
I'm going to make that kind of money.
He had to. He didn't
What are you arguing about? He took $1 million less. Okay? Whether he had to or not, he took it. He took $1 million less.
But Crawford doesn't have to agree to be chump change. He's undefeated.
Okay, well, then you know what? Then he'll because Spence has a lot of other fights he can take. Spence can go to 154 and make money.
He's going to get with Crawford.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Edgar, my man across the river. Listen, here's the bottom line. You know, Spence doesn't need Crawford. That's the bottom line. And if we look at it, Spence does not need Crawford.
Who told you that?
Crawford needs Spence. I'm telling you that.
Who's Spence going to fight after? Huh?
He's got three or four welterweights he's going to fight. Can we talk about Keith Thurman for one? And
Keith
Garcia? There's a lot of guys he could fight. It doesn't matter. He'll fight him. He'll make money.
But he's not
going to
make
Crawford
money if he's going to make with Crawford.
We're not talking about listen, he'll make some money. Crawford's not going to make no money. Spence is the name. I think
no,
Spence is better.
I doubt
okay.
it.
Well, okay. Well, I tell you what. Okay, Dusty. All right. I tell you what. Let's see what happens if this fight doesn't come through. And let's see who winds up with some fights.
There was supposed to fight now in October. Now they're talking about December, and then they're talking about not going to happen this year. Maybe early part of next year in January. Because
that's crazy.
I'm friends are not coming through with the realities of the money. You know, Canelo did the same thing to Caleb Plant. He did the same thing to Miguel Cotto. Mayweather did the same thing to other fighters. He got $35 million, and Guerrero got $3
million. Yeah, but here's the bottom line. They fought him. That's the bottom line. Whatever they got, they fought him. And it was more than what they were going to get fighting somebody else. Stock Family Sports in the block. Hold on, Dusty. Block Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Do we have a halftime score here?
On the Jets?
Yeah.
The score is 19 to 12.
Okay, 14. So we got they're close to lose. Gentlemen, we're going to take a break now musically, and there's a halftime here. So,
what I'm telling you? Huh?
Yeah, what the game does? Yeah.
Because all those chump change guys said this was the biggest purse I made in my whole boxing career. That's why they took the fights, but not Crawford.
Yeah.
But not Crawford.
Oh, I think. I go ahead, man from across the water. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right because like you said, they don't need him. But you know, I would have been a great fight to see. I mean, I wasn't comfortable myself.
Mm-hmm. I got a hold on, gang. I got a 404 call. Who's calling in?
This is Nas. What's going on, Doc?
Who's this?
It's Nas, man. What's going on, Doc?
Hey, Nas, we're arguing here back and forth. Man, we got Atlanta in the house alive, too. They're taking a little beating right now. Nas, we're arguing here. They're talking about the Spence-Crawford fight not coming. One of the problems is Crawford's a little upset about the money haggling, and maybe, you know, he won't be getting what he proposed or thought he was going to get fighting Spence. I'm saying whatever he gets, take it. You know, because it's going to be more than what you were going to get against anybody else. But my bottom line, Nas, is this. If you got to get him in the ring. If you think you can beat him, get him in the ring and beat him, and then you change the financial situation on the rebound. But don't sit here and complain about when you already agreed to take the small end of the purse. So whatever it is, something's better than nothing. I like Spence over Crawford. Crawford's very talented. He has a history of having a hard time making fights. My thing is simple. Don't be concerned about what you're going to get. As Ray Leonard once said, you know, it's not about the money. You know, sometimes it's not about, it's about being the champ. You know, Larry Holmes took less money to fight Jerry Cooney. Okay? So, you know, at this time, it shouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, my thing now, it shouldn't be about the money. You know, if you feel you can beat him, you got to get him in the ring. Your thoughts on it, Nas?
Yeah, I think they think in short term, man. They should be thinking trilogy. They should be thinking, okay, this is the first fight of three. They shouldn't be thinking about it as a one-off because the whole boxing world's eyes is going to be on it, and you'll be able to gain a little bit of more mainstream coverage of it too. And once you have the fight and set up the other fights, that's when you start talking about really making some money. But if you think you're just going to do whatever in a one-off, like boxing's really not in that state right now. Like, can Terrence Crawford walk through a major mall in your city and not be recognized? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man, this needs to be a trilogy. He needs to be thinking long term. So make the fight, get in there, you know, put on a show and set it up for the next one. Like that should be their thinking.
You know what you're saying, Doc?
Well, what I'm trying to tell you, Doc, is that his 40% is not the accurate 40% that he's supposed to get. He's still being chumped.
We understand that. But you being the chump, I'm not taking the fight. I mean, like I said, you listen. Spence doesn't need him. He needs Spence. Okay, he needs Spence. That's the bottom line. Nas just told you. Nobody knows who Crawford is if you don't see him on TV. You don't know who he is.
No, don't be negative.
You do. The boxing people do who know the sport, but nobody knows Crawford. Crawford needs Spence. It's that simple. He needs Spence. And if you think you can, now the question is, if they said maybe Spence is scared of Crawford, maybe Crawford's afraid of Spence. Make the fight. Eddie Mustafa is the quintessential example. He told Marvin Johnson, and when Don King made the fight with him and Trinidad and De La Hoya, he said, I gave Bob everything he wanted. But I know my man can beat his man. Now, they robbed De La Hoya, but the mindset was, my man's going to win. So here, I'll take what you want. But when the deal gets flipped around, and what happened was, okay, when De La Hoya lost, Aram didn't make the rematch. But my thing is, if Crawford feels he can beat Spence, and this is going to be whatever, even they chump him, it's going to be the biggest amount of money he's ever made.
What's the ratio?
You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. Is that
hold
he agreed to the 40. The underlying thing is that his 40, he suspects, is not the complete 40 he's supposed to get. That's all he's saying.
So what? Make the fight. So what? Make the fight. I mean, if you would.
So what?
You know what? Listen, $10 million
world titles,
is
man.
Better.
Huh?
I don't care how many. Listen, once again, I'll say this. Spence does not need Crawford.
That's your opinion.
On this show, my opinion carries a lot of weight. On this show, okay?
Yeah, the only thing I side with Romero on, if it's 60-40, that makes me think the Spence camp doesn't really want to fight.
Exactly.
Like, if you're really going to stick to 60-40, that makes me think you don't want the fight to happen.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Spence,
you want to walk
Spence,
away
no,
from
no, the no. Originally, Spence told him he doesn't want to fight. Spence is the name in this fight. Nas, what are we talking about?
He's the name in this fight.
He's fought pay-per-view before. But Crawford is horrible on pay-per-view. People don't pay to see Crawford. They pay to see Spence. Oh, what are we talking about here? You just said he could walk through an airport. Nobody knows who the hell he is. Spence does not need Crawford.
Yeah, but that's the
Crawford problem
with the whole fight. I think Spence could do the same thing. Spence could walk through Atlanta airport and not be recognized, too.
No, he's more popular. Gentlemen, it's very simple. Make the fight, man. If you feel you can beat the guy, take them. At this point, like Ray Leonard said, and Ray may be hypocritical about it, but sometimes it's not about the money. It's about being a champion. And whether you like that or not, that's 2 and 2 is 4. Yeah, and you can say, well, Ray was just that. Okay, that's true. Say what you want about Ray. But it's the truth. The first president of the United States was George Washington, whoever says it. Sometimes, gentlemen, it's not about the money.
All I'm trying to say is, if he agrees to 60-40, this sounds like a situation where then he'll start arguing about gloves or the ring. Whatever he can use, because I don't think they want the fight if they're disputing it to this extent. Where it's like, dude, if he's arguing like that, give him 45. Give him 47.
Listen, that is not in Spence's hand. That's in the promoter's hands. And we don't know the kind of problem that Spence causes. Spence is known to be not an asshole, but a first-class asshole. Okay? Aram said he's hardened, so he's known to be. So we don't know what Spence did, what Crawford said. But Crawford is known to be a first-class asshole. So we don't know what he did. And if we're talking about, maybe Spence. No. But the thing is, this is very simple. If you want the fight, hey,
I want him Eddie Mustafa, whatever he wants, give him. Don King, whatever he wants, give him. Okay? That's all it's simple. It's not rocket science. You know what I mean? Okay, so my 40 ain't 10 million. It's 7 million. It's still 40, but more importantly, that's not the issue. The issue is to get Spence in the ring.
That's
the bottom line. Okay, all this other stuff is academic. You know, the chump change. I wish I could make 10 or 8 or 9 million out of a chump change. Here's the bottom line. If you want to fight them, fight them. And
what
like
about
I said,
the
club
was fighting the younger brother of the Sphinx. The younger brother of the Sphinx was a heavyweight champ, undefeated. He was getting
Michael?
Nothing but a
Leon.
Dime. And or Tyson
no,
was
no,
getting
no,
21 million. Who,
once
was
again,
getting
once again, who
if it hadn't been for
was,
the manager, who
was the name?
Ridiculous.
Were they coming to see Mike Tyson or they coming to see
I
Michael Spinks?
I don't give a goddamn
they
who
were
they
coming
can.
To see. Why are you bringing the point up? Why are you talking about? You just asked me who are they coming to see. I'm telling you who they're coming to see. Now you tell me that's not the answer.
Yeah.
They came to see Mike Tyson. June 27, 1988 on a Monday. And that probably was the greatest Mike Tyson into the ring. But you asked me, who were they coming to see? They were coming to see Mike Tyson. When Holmes and Cooney fought, they were coming to see Cooney, not Larry Holmes. That's what I'm just saying. But the bottom line, what I'm saying, gentlemen, you know, make the fight. Gentlemen, we've got a little halftime. Give me a second here. We're going to do halftime music here, and we'll be right back with you. And we're going to have Miles Davis coming here. Give us about a couple of minutes. Doc Sunday Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, on the Stress and God Radio Network. We got the man from across the water, the boxing connoisseur, ingenious Dusty Nas from Atlanta, and the birthday boy, Edgar. Gentlemen, Miles Davis, the entertainer, will be right back in about 5 minutes. And we do this in memory and tribute to the Sunday morning classic legend, the one and only Hal Jackson, who brought us his great music on Sunday. And everybody that I play here was a close friend of Hal Jackson. Miles Davis from the greatest jazz album of all time, Kind of Blue. We'll be right back with you. Don't move, everybody. Sports Internet Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God.
You've got to give me more.
every Sunday. Instead of broadcasting, he brought you the greatest artists of all time. One of the greatest DJs of all time. Everybody he played was a personal friend, indebted to him for enhancing their career and also putting them on and pushing them on to higher levels. Dr. Daly, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Garden Network. I want you to come close to the radio one more time. Oh, they're here. Nas from Atlanta. Dusty. Out there in Far Rockaway. The man across the water. We're across the water with him. And the birthday boy, Edgar Serino. We're live here. And that last hitting where the Jets are leading the halftime. And the Jets. At MetLife Stadium, while the Giants won not on the road, but across the water on the road against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And you see Aaron Rodgers after the face, he had it look like, you know, wow, the Giants beat me? They have a penchant to do that. I don't understand Rodgers' theory there, throwing the ball down on, what it was, second and three or something, on the three line. But, yeah, you know what? He's got a week to think about it. Some football scores across the board. It's the 1917, the Seahawks against the Saints. And we've got, I told you, the Giants has already won.
In London.
In London. Yeah, and it's not London Street, downtown Brooklyn. we got tonight, we've got some other big games here. Patriots shutting out the Lions. Real quickly, as we talk of baseball, real quick, big game tonight. Mets have a must win. I think we kind of conceded that the manager of the year. Nas, we considered conceded that unquestionably. Dusty Baker, number one seed in all of baseball, manager of the year once again, the Astros. But we were thinking it should be Buck Showalter here in New York in wake of the fact that even if Dave Roberts has the most wins, but he has a team that people, you know, was new going to win. He had a good team. We didn't know what Buck had. And, you know, it's ironic, Dusty, that he'll win manager. I think he won manager as with the Yankees, too, in 94 when they got. So
that ever happened.
Would you see that the Mets are folding? I mean, are struggling when they were in place, first place. Now they're down to, you know, I think second place, and they're having they lose to the Padres last night, San Diego, you know.
They won. They won.
So they even it up. Okay, but the fact of the matter is that they have blown all the opportunities to stay in first place. Showalter may be in contention for manager of the year, but he is contingent on he taking them to the playoffs or at least the pennant chase. The World Series, but I don't think he'll be in contention. My money is on the guy from the Dodgers, and like you said, Dusty Baker. Those guys are perennial veterans who always keep their teams in contention. That they win the World Series, that's questionable. But I mean, those two guys are perennial veterans that know what the hell they're doing. Showalter, maybe Showbiz, because he comes from the Yankees and all his history. But the Mets are folding.
Y'all knew the Braves were gonna run them boys down.
yeah.
hey, this is evidently. Evidently, and you know what? The two keys to the Braves being where they were at when they had that big 10 or 12 game win streak, and when the Mets went to Atlanta with a one-game lead, and their two ace pitchers, two of the highest-paid pitchers in baseball, so probably two of the greatest pitchers of all time. And, I, you know, to me, when Scherzer lost, it kind of validated to me, why did they give him, a guy at 38 years, all that kind of money? And then people are saying, well, how can you pay Judge all that money? He's 31 years old. He's 7 years younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, so now you had no problem giving it to Switzer, who's 38, okay, who's been injured most of the year, and who lost game here, okay, against the Padres, and then lost the game that was going to get you back on solid ground against the Braves. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, so that proves it. I got a picture here in my collage of Koufax and Bob Gibson. Back in the day, on a big game, Koufax would have had 11 strikeouts, 2 hits, and no walks. Gibson would have had 13 strikeouts, 2 hits, and no walks. Marichal would have gave up 5 hits and no walks. They would have won the big game convincingly. Doc Gooden, same thing. So, I mean, you know, it's just I think maybe what you said, Dustin, is those two losses, against the Braves, could it be also the downfall of him becoming manager of the year? Because I have to look at Roberts, because, you know, even though he had a Cadillac, it didn't mean he had to run as well as it did. Even though he had a Cadillac, it didn't mean he had to get the kind of mileage that he did. Even though he had a pink Cadillac, he was solid. So that could have possibly give Roberts, you know, the manager of the year in American League and National League. And to me, in America, it's nobody but Dusty Baker. Boone had a shot, just like you talked about, Dusty, the early part of the year. The Mets had a 10, how do you blow a 10-game lead? You know what I mean? All you got to do is if you keep winning when Atlanta's winning, even if you win 5 games less, you're still going to fight. So, Showalter could very clearly lose to Roberts. So, like I said, who has had his team in first place all year long, the best record in baseball all year long. You know, so yeah, I agree 100% there. That's kind of question the Blast Talk Radio Session, Gary. You know, we're going to run in a little while here, but Nas, let's talk about what's some other things you got on your mind down there in Atlanta, Nas?
No, I mean, if we could stick with the baseball thing, the thing is you pay aces to be aces in the playoffs. That's the whole purpose of it. So DeGrom yesterday, you know, he showed up big, carried them to where they needed to go, and now, you know, the Mets are still alive.
Yeah.
But ultimately, man, this whole playoff is going to come down to what the Aces can do. And the Braves, the biggest problem with the Braves is they got kings but no aces when it comes to pitching. So they have to hit. And I'm sorry, man. As great as the Dodgers lineup is, which is a historically great lineup, you know, 1 through 9, like that lineup is stacked. But the Dodgers don't have that kind of ace where you can just say, hey, he's pitching, therefore you lose. So this playoffs is going to be interesting, man. I'm excited for this baseball playoff. I ain't even going to lie.
You know, what you're saying is the Dodgers are not as good as the record indicates.
The lineup is so good that it doesn't matter most nights, but when it comes to the playoffs, do we really trust what they have? What's my man, the Latino young man, if you're rolling him out for game one, are you really looking at him as an ace? So if you don't hit, what happens? Well, look what just happened to the Cardinals.
Well, yeah.
You know, that vaunted lineup all season. They didn't have a pitcher, and then that lineup couldn't hit because, you know, you're playing against, you know, the best of the best as far as pitching. What happens? So the Astros, they do have a couple of aces. You see what I'm saying? So
The thing about the Astros, you know, they are coming in the playoffs at full throttle. Don't forget, Verlander was out for a while.
Unfortunately,
okay,
yeah.
He's a Cy Young Award winner. Cy Young Award winner. And McCullen was out for a while. So if Verlander stays, he wins 20 games. McCullen's there. The Lady A, are you with us? Lady A? Oh, hey, how you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the first lady of the Sweet Science. Lady A, tell me
how you doing, baby?
What's up, Dusty? How you feel, man? How's
everything? Oh, man, thank God that we connected on the emails.
Yeah,
we got Edgar with us here.
Lady A, we're going to get you in here. We had a big argument, and Nas, to Rinder's point you made, you know, the Dusty, you know, playing one thing during the season, and I always say, you know, it's, you know, when you're playoff, you're playing – a very good team redundantly. That's why I always thought the players from yesterday in the NBA were better, because you played Russell, Chamberlain, Oscar, West, Baylor, Pettit, Thurman redundantly. You know, it's not like now. The Knicks play the Lakers one time and the Nets playing one time. But, Lady A, let's get to boxing. There's some talk about the possibility of the Spence fight being canceled. Now, one thing that I was saying, and there was, I said, you know, Spence is the name here. Spence doesn't need Crawford. Crawford needs Spence. Now, there's some talk about, well, you know, they're messing with Spence's Crawford's purse. I said, hey, you know what? If he's going to take 40%, take whatever percent to give. My example, Lady A, is Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. When he fought Marvin Johnson, I gave him everything he wanted. I know I can beat him. So if you feel you can beat him, you know, Ray Bennett said something, yeah, and Dutchie said he could be hypocritical. Here's the statement, Lady A. Sometimes it's not about the money. It's about being the champ. Your thoughts on that? And Smith and Crawford.
Well, I think, you know, boxing has suffered significantly compared to MMA, and I think that every business has suffered after COVID. I think that a lot of the athletes today, as passionate as the old athletes were, have different views about, you know, about the sport that they're in. I think if you look at something that one of the I listened to one of the guys that was having a commentary with Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, and they were both talking about how, you know, if you went up to guys today and said to them, you know, listen, you could be a World Series champ tomorrow, or, you know, you can make a certain amount of money and walk away from the sport, which one would you do? A lot of them would just take the money. So I think that the mentality has changed significantly. And if you equate that to your question regarding, you know, superiority, I think that a lot of people more or less just looking to get paid these days, as opposed to looking at the superiority that they may feel that they have in the sport, or showing that they have more superior in the sport. The footing has changed significantly. I think people really are just more about the money these days than they are about just the title. So I think it's, you know, it used to be that when you win the title, you know, there's a, but, you know, I think there's that, how you say that?
Oh, Lady,
that
Lady,
level,
Lady,
that
give
footing,
me a
that
lady.
Footing where
let,
you're at.
Hold
let
on,
me
hold
finish.
On, hold on, give me a minute. No, hold. Nas, she is now circumventing what you said about Crawford looking about a trilogy. Go ahead, Lady A.
Well, what I'm saying, you just interrupted me, but what I was trying to finish saying was, is so I think that athletes in general have a different perspective nowadays about the sports that they're in. And so that being said, I think that because a lot of them are just, it used to be like your record says who you are, right? But I think obviously now with the MMA, when you look at MMA, right, you have guys that may have 3, 4, 5 losses and they're still great fighters, right? But when you go to boxing, everything is based on the 1 and the 0 or the 3 and the 0. So, you know, the days of fighting anybody that's put in front of you has changed significantly. So now it's just about the money.
Yeah.
So I think because you have that dynamic, that interesting dynamic that has changed, I think that now, you know, that whole mindset has changed significantly. So, I mean, I'm hoping I answered your question the way you wanted me to.
No, you know what? Now, you know, Dusty, now hold on a second. Now, she validates what you're saying about Crawford being concerned about the money. And she turns around too, though, Nas, and circumvents what you're saying, because Spence is not worried about a trilogy. He's worried about that great line that the late, great George Allen used to say, the future is now. So we're seeing both sides of the ledger here.
Also, to support what Lady A said, Amanda Serrano left Lou DiBella because he was chump-changing her in all those fights. She tuned up with this guy, this Twitter, this guy, Jordan, who's a Twitter giant or something. He's fighting MMA guys and giving her big-time purses. This white guy who's never fought, but he's fighting guys. I forget his name. He's a millionaire guy on Twitter. He made millions on Twitter. He
What's
himself
his name?
Is fighting. I forgot the
Logan
guy.
Paul?
His name is Jordan, or Armand Jordan, and all that. So
Logan
she
Paul.
Went under his tutelage, because for now she's making $250,000 to almost $500,000 in purses, where Lou developed chump changer for $50,000, $75,000. It is about the money, Lady A. You know, you and I know that's about the money. Forget the titles.
Yeah, but I think the dynamics has changed a lot in all sports. You can make that argument in a lot of sports. I mean, it's not like it used to be many years ago. I mean, you don't have guys that nowadays have got look at what's his name, the one that the Claw, they from Toronto, that he went from basketball. He went to
Kawhi Leonard.
I'm sorry, name escaped me for a second. I'm sorry, but Kawhi Leonard. If you look at him, he was talking about having downtime. Like, you mean he needed mental health days, he needed this, he needed that. So the dynamics of the game, of the athlete, of sports in general, and the mind to the athletes has changed significantly. I mean, it's all about the money now. I mean, you know, before it used to be about the titles and the passion for the game, and you know, you had guys that were never traded, they stayed on teams forever and whatever. All of that is out the window. I think that, you know, if you look at it, even if you look at it from the 70s on to today, I mean, it's just changed significantly and drastically. You got guys that don't play because they're turf toe. I have a mental health day. I can't, you know. I mean, Doc is sitting here telling me a lot of these athletes are like choaches, right? Because they basically every little thing they don't have to play.
They are. They ain't like it, lady. They are.
You know?
Yeah, but the front office is looking at that too. The front office is understanding that too. It's like if you got a Porsche and a Nissan at the house. Now, are you going to drive that Porsche to work every day, or are you going to drive the Nissan to work every day and drive the Porsche when you want to? So if you're investing in a guy,
but what do you do when the Porsche breaks down? What do you do when the Porsche breaks down?
You're going to drive a Nissan. But hold on.
You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, lady A, one second. So if you got a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you got him on a max deal, that means you're investing in him long term. Six years, $100 million plus. That means he's an asset at that point. So if he comes to you from San Antonio with a prior injury to his leg, which caused him to leave San Antonio, the thought process is not let's get him to play all 82. The thought process is let's get him to play 67 so he's fresh for the playoffs and we get what we actually want from him. Not
but here's my thing.
A
but
regular
but here's
season
my, here's
game
my
in
answer
Milwaukee.
My answer to you. Do you, in that case, then accept an inherent risk, knowing that he has a messed up leg?
Exactly.
You're taking that risk.
Yes.
You're taking on that assumed risk, correct?
Yes.
Exactly.
So then you yourself should know what comes with it, along with not just the injury, but the mental health case. Because he has even stated several times that he can't use a mental health day, right? And that's just one example I'm giving. I mean, he's given all kinds of excuses not to play, right? So then you know as a person that needs to put butts in the seats. Now, what is that going to do to the fan base now that's paying all that money to come to the game, and every time you turn around, he's turning around saying he can't play because of this and he can't play because of that. So you're taking on that assumed risk.
Yeah, see, but hold on. For one, ticket prices are never the cash cow. The cash cow is the TV deals. So you set it up to where you say, okay, you're not going to rest on the primetime games where we're on TNT and the whole country sees it. We're going
to
rest
you on
a back-to-back against Brooklyn. No, the people who buy tickets in basketball, they understand this. This is part of basketball culture now, the idea of not only rest days but the idea of managing minutes. Because the days of you playing 82 games and then being dried out and washed up for the playoffs, those are over, man. Teams look at players as assets now. So it's not a thing of he's making excuses not to play. I mean, from what we know about Kawhi Leonard, which is very little because he doesn't talk much, do we think he doesn't like to play basketball? The dude loves basketball. But as a businessman, you need to approach things appropriately. I think the Clippers have done a good job. He tore his ACL last year. He sat out. He's back this year. I'm sure they're going to have a way of ramping up his minutes as the season goes along. They're not going to start him out playing 40 minutes a game.
No.
They're not going to do that. This is just to me, this is looking at athletes as human beings and not as machines. The old school way was, hey, you play 82, you play 48 minutes, we don't care. It is what it is. And then what happens? The guy body wears out, and the back end of the contract, you end up paying for a guy who's not what you paid for at the beginning.
Well,
isn't it like that, though, in the beginning anyway? I mean, if you're taking a guy that's injured,
longer now.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you're taking a guy that's injured anyway, I mean, you know, injury is part of the game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're taking the guy anyway. You're assuming a risk either way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, that's for everybody. That's for everybody.
Well, that's the same thing that
Tom Brady, 45. He can get
the quarterback. They put him in. He was injured before. They put him into the game because he was the starting quarterback. He was got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
His career may be finished. If you saw his hands paralyzed, he couldn't even breathe. So this is the thing that because he's the starting quarterback and they paid him billions and billions of dollars to play, he has to come in. You talk about an injury. I mean, these games are the most sports, especially boxing and football, are the most brutal freaking sports that you can ever find.
How about hockey? That's brutal, too.
Quarterback and you 350-pound smash the dude on the ground.
I think the problem comes in the fact that they're giving these people the top notch, all these extended contracts, 10 years now, 8 years now.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have a contact sport, football, hockey, you know, boxing or whatever, you know, and then you're going to give a guy a 10-year contract, you know, you're assuming a huge risk. And if you start tagging in days, the guy's not going to come to work and he's not going to show up or whatever. I mean, you're paying all this extra money as a business and as a person a person that owns a business. You have to turn around and say, well, listen, I'm not going to pay this guy for 10 years. You know, listen, hey, Kyrie, you don't want to show up for certain games? Guess what? I'm only paying you for 2 years and you're going to get what you're going to get.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's the problem.
But hold on, though. Like, we're not talking about unsophisticated people. These people know what they're doing. But think about it like this. When the next TV deal comes out, the NBA contracts you look at now, they're going to be looked at as, oh, you got that guy for a bargain, because the money is going to be so much more. So you want to lock the guy in for wherever the terms are at the moment, because the longer you wait, the more the price goes up. Go back to LeBron doing those one-year and two-year deals. You see what I'm saying?
I'm not talking.
You want to lock them in.
I get it, but I'm not talking about – I'm just saying these deals that they get like 10 – like some of these players that are getting 10-year deals and that's just, to me, that's crazy. You could lock a guy in for 2-3 years or whatever, but it, to me, it's like, you know, that you're assuming he's such a more higher risk when you get the guy for 10 years. I mean, to me, it's crazy, you know?
No, you're locking in that price point. That's what you're doing. So if you lock a guy in right now in the NBA for a max deal, in 3 years when the next TV deal comes up, that price is going to be, you know, not twice as much, but it's going to be damn near twice as much. So by locking them in long term, it's like when you go buy something and they tell you, you know what I mean? It's better to buy, buy in bulk. It's a similar type of thinking. So they're not getting the bad end of the deal.
But the only I would like to add something. The only thing about that is, these players are believers now, so if they get a bargain or they feel like their contract is a bargain, they're going to want to renegotiate. They're going to want
They can't renegotiate.
They don't want the Curry deal. They don't want the LeBron deal.
Well, they can't renegotiate. That's why you lock them in with an option, a player option or a team option in, say, the fifth year or whatever. Like, think about Golden State. Golden State got Steph Curry on the old max deal terms for locked in for 6 years. They could never get that now. If Steph Curry was a free agent, you'd have to pay Steph Curry a ridiculous amount of money. But because they locked him in early. Matter of fact, I'll give you a perfect example for this. The Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves bring up young prospects, and in the second or first year of the prospects showing that they can play, the Atlanta Braves lock them in long term, because they know if they wait, it's going to cost so much more, because then they'll be paying market value. So this is how you get below market value deals for superstars, and it's long term. So you're locked into it. And if the player, you know, starts to fall off or whatever, the value of that player still exists on the trade market if you had to move them or something like that. So these front offices are not stupid. They know what they're doing.
I don't think. I mean, this is just my assumption. I don't know if anybody else on the panel feels differently. I just didn't get the vibe, like, after all this was going on with Kyrie and you know, and with Durant, that the organizations throughout the NBA were just going to sit down and completely, you know, before people after signing their contract wanted to get traded and whatnot. I just feel like there's something missing there, that maybe policy has to change or maybe
Kyrie is his own separate story.
Guys, can I just finish?
Kyrie is going to cost the players money. Yeah, you're right.
Let me just finish my thought. The whole point was is that, I mean, I feel like, like I said, I don't know if anybody else got different information or whatever, but it just seems like the organizations in the NBA kind of after that whole thing happened had a bad taste in their mouth, because if you signed a 4-year contract, you signed the contract. You can't turn around now, you know, months later, and be like, no, I want to trade, you know. And it just seems like I'm all for, like, the players having a say, and I'm all for, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not, but it just seems like that left a bad taste in a lot of the organizations. And to me, I think that's why they had the issues that they had, because it seems as though these players, just at the whim of any time they feel like the wind blows a certain way, they're not happy with an organization and they want to be traded. So I just – you know, I just feel as though there has to be a clause or something has to be implemented within policy to limit stuff like that from happening, particularly after a person signs a contract and then months later, maybe not even 6 months later, turns around and is like, oh, I want to be traded. I mean, you signed a contract. So
NBA superstars can't force a trade. That's always existed and that's still going to exist. But Kyrie is his own separate entity as a story. Kyrie is going to cost the NBA players a lot of money, because when they go to the next CBA, they start to negotiate, Kyrie is going to be a huge subject, and the players are going to have to give a little bit because they're going to use him as a test case. Hey, what if a guy refuses to play? What if a guy refuses to do what everybody else is doing as far as a vaccine or anything like that? So, yeah, Kyrie is going to cost them money. The players.
Well, it's also James Harden, Ben Simmons, and all these other players. I think James Harden might be a better example, because he literally came out of shape, forced the team to do the trade because he didn't want to be there and he wanted a new contract.
Yeah. If you're a good enough player in the NBA, you can do that. Because, look, unlike football, baseball, and everything else, a single NBA star changes trajectory of a franchise. So you are able to, you know, demand to be traded. But let's not get too caught up in this idea of player empowerment. Because remember, when the players said they didn't want to play in the All-Star game, the owner said, so what? You're playing the All-Star game. It happened. When the players said they didn't, some of the players said, I don't know about this bubble. Maybe we don't want to play in the bubble. What happened? They played in the bubble. So that the player empowerment only goes so far.
In the next labor negotiations, I believe there was comments by Mark Cuban or someone, one of these owners, saying that these things are going to have to change, and they can't keep allowing this from players. It's bad for fans. It's bad for the product, and it's not good that
feedback. I think maybe you need to lower the radio or something, because it's getting feedback. It's hard to hear what you're saying. Can you just lower it? You're coming up like lower the volume a little bit in the car or whatever you're listening. It's coming over, so it's hard to hear what you're saying. Just
feedback.
Because I'm on it.
Can you repeat what you were saying? I'm sorry, because I'm going to be disrespectful and not hear what you said.
So I was saying that I think one of these owners had commented that the next labor negotiations, which should be coming in a few years, 1 or 2 years now, that they're going to have to change this, because they can't keep allowing this to happen, because it's bad for the product, it's bad for fans. Nobody wants to see this. If you're making $50,000 a year and these guys are complaining or not wanting to play when they get paid millions.
Yeah, and this is a failing of media, where you give a megaphone to owners and give their side in negotiation to strengthen their argument as opposed to the players. And I have a funny feeling about when I hear regular, everyday folks side with management, where it's like, you understand they're talking about you to a certain degree. If these players can't get certain things as far as their negotiation and dealing with management, you won't be able to in a regular workplace. So the idea that, hey, these players are doing this and that. Dude, we got to talk about how many ownership groups, hire their family. Don't bring in adequate counsel to handle some of these things, and are really bad at their jobs, where you got nepotism everywhere throughout the building, and, you know, lack of diversity throughout the building when it comes to hiring black, brown, and women. And you see these organizations fail year after year after year, and because they got revenue sharing, they're kind of, you know, welfare groups supported by the other franchises, and then they come out and talk about the players, and you're like, wait a minute, you need to clean up your house. So I don't know, man. I got a different, I grew up in a union house, so I got a different feeling about when we talk about union and management. I'm not so quick to side with management.
But now, wasn't Kyrie a member of the union? Wasn't he a president or something in the players union, especially when they went through that Disney World season?
Yep.
And he's pretty much cutting players, not a play.
Mm-hmm.
That's
correct.
That's a little weird, I guess, for a player of that position making that much money, telling players that make less than him to do such a thing.
And the players that made less than him said what? Yeah, that's cool, Kyrie. We going to Orlando.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only did he want to be tied up, and yet he jumps to the San Diego Padres for the same contract.
What was that? Was someone saying something?
Dusty, you were saying something about San Diego Padres? Hello?
Doc, so the way we have a score update here, Jets are 19-17, Dolphins have the ball, Seattle 19-24, Saints are up. We have the Buffalo Bills up 31-3.
Yeah, they're beating on the Steelers, and also and I think the Vikings are getting ready to go one more time. Looking at it, and that's here. Vikings are in again in Chicago. That game was, I thought, it was a little better than what it was. Only 7-3. And here's some other scores here. I think Denver won again, so maybe they're happy with the quarterback there. They had some they're really upset about this game on Thursday. Now, the Jets, who we talked about, had a big lead. They don't have a big lead anymore. The big surprise today is...
And he just missed a field goal. Dolphins just missed a field goal. They didn't capitalize on the option to take the lead, and the score stays 19-17. Jets are up.
Yeah, but there's a lot of football left, and you got to be concerned about the Jets' inability to put points on the board. Should. Yeah. So, gang, hold tight. Let Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way to here on our show today. Don't nobody move. But Marvin Gaye always closes out. Doc Stanley Sports and Death Block, Talk Radio and Custom Car Network. A song that he sung back in the 70s. It's so vital, important today. Gang, it's so good to have the gang on here. Dusty, not across the water. And Marvin Gaye, like I said, as is to say, boy, we're going our way. Mr. Gaye, coming in here now.
Stadium and TV.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares?
It is.
Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? To save a world. To save a world. That's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow,
really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame,
what a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy.
Play around here, but man, it's been, you know, that scene was, it was just really, we always hear it talking, it's really so nice to get Nas
yeah.
from Atlanta back here with us, and Lady A, I mean, for surely it's going to snow tomorrow.
Lady A, we're missing.
Yeah, and Nas, you know, man, I got to. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin, give us some closing thoughts.
Well, you know, we had a very good, heated, upgraded discussion, and we believe in certain things, our philosophy. You know, I still say, you know, that's a pick 'em fight. You know, Crawford, for whatever reason, people will say he stinks, he's a bum, and he's not as good as Spence. I disagree. They're both coming in even. They're both in the same level. If you're going to give somebody a nod, Crawford has 6 world titles. Spence has only 2. So you got to look at it that way. I mean, whether he's better than Spence, well, but Spence only has 2. And then who has he really, you know, you keep saying who has he fought. But who has Spence really fought? Of note, Danny Garcia, Mikey Garcia, Chris Algieri. You know, and the only top dude that he fought and gave him a freaking beating was Sean Porter. And he got that by a split decision. So what I'm saying is that...
Remember he won that thing with that tough fight against the Russian guy, too, remember?
The Russian guy, what the hell was it? Yeah, the Russian guy, all right. But
yeah.
The fact is that we have to wait and see, hopefully, like you and I were holding our breath, holding hands, that this fight comes through, because this will be the mega welterweight fight of the year. And if it doesn't come through, you mentioned Thurman, well, that's a cut down. Who would say Thurman? Thurman will be, my opinion, will be beat easily by Spence. Thurman will be beat easily by Crawford. Thurman is just talk. Am I wrong? I could be wrong. But who else is a
no,
rat?
No, no, no. If you're talking about Keith Thurman, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Right. Yeah, and Pacquiao is gone. And oh yeah, Pacquiao mentioned he's going to have an exhibition with Mayweather. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, who else is in the horizon outside of that dude, Jordan, who has 27 fights, welterweight, a monster, 27 knockouts? I said, oh, my Lord. This guy, and nobody wants to fight him. But who else, he couldn't draw flies. That's it.
Yeah.
You see? So what I'm saying is that, Who can we bring the crowd back in? The fight is Crawford and Spence, undefeated.
Oh, no, no question. Incidentally, talking about flying, Buffalo just scored again. It's 38-3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're running rough side over them.
Let me tell you something. Do you think that the Steelers have fallen apart because Roethlisberger left? Because they don't look sharp anymore.
I mean, we have to talk about it. And Nas, you can join me here too. You know, everybody talked about, you know, here in New York, where, you know, outside of Brady, you know, Eli Manning, you know, he's won some Super Bowl. Yeah, Roethlisberger was far superior to Brady. Far superior to Brady. Never get the kind of ink he got for being the quarterback he was. Nas, your thoughts on that? I know he was a great quarterback. I think he's the Hall of Famer, Nas.
Sure. Well, you know. He was a quarterback who was a linebacker, because if you try to tackle a kid.
He was a quarterback who was like a linebacker, and you're going to see the same thing play out with Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen was incredible today, but he's probably going to have a trajectory similar to Cam Newton, where at the end of his career, he's probably not going to be very good, because you can't keep hunting down linebackers and running them over, and those hits don't start to add up. Big Ben, the thing with him was him standing in the pocket, shrugging off defensive ends, and taking all that punishment. And then at the end of his career, you know, he was throwing 5 yards of, you know, a throw because he was worn out. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a rebuild right now.
Yeah.
They didn't want to say it to start the season, but this is a rebuild. So as terrible as they look today, you should expect more of it.
I think, you know, okay, you guys are experts. You know, you guys, I mean, like I say, you know, my panel here is the best there is in the world. But, you know, and I think Pittsburgh fans understand. I think in general, the public understands that this is a team that is in a rebuilding stage. It's no longer an elite football team. It held on for a long time as a very good football team, but they have left elite status for some time ago. So they became very good. They kept sporting reasonable records, respectable. They kept getting to the playoffs, but they were no longer an elite football team. And so now this is what we have. And, you know, like you say, you got to build. You know, I think, too, Nas, you know, if you join me later, the Giants' 4-1 record is right now is a deception. We got to see how they play against Philly. We got to see how they play against Dallas. We got to see how they play against Washington. They've already lost against Dallas. So,
they lost against Dallas. Without the quarterback, the main quarterback?
Exactly.
The Giants aren't great, but they don't beat themselves. And if Saquon is healthy, he's one of the best backs in the league. So you can kind of ride that to some wins. But, yeah, they don't beat themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, he came back today to win the game for him. But, you know, it makes you even more so look back. I mean, I saw something where they said the greatest football player of all time was Jerry Rice. And in the words of the legendary great stickball player, T-Fat St. Clair McCovey Brown, St. Clair Werfler, you know, surely you just. I remember going, surely you just. I remember being blessed by the grace of God and the Son Jesus, which I am in every aspect. You guys are two blessings in my life. And I remember I took them up to a school in Spofford. Howie Evans, the legendary sports editor of the Amsterdam News, and Carl Nesfield, the legendary photographer, and who was Malcolm X's personal photographer, had an affair at the legendary Showman's up in Harlem. So Howie turns to me and says, "No, you got a car?" I says, "Yes. Can you give me and Jim a ride to Spofford?" Man, I'd have carried Jim down on my back, you know. And I get up there, and Howie again says to me, hey, Mel, you know, why don't you introduce Jennifer Fumigate? I told him, you know, you have no idea who stands before you. He's the greatest football player ever lived. And what I remember, when the kids asked him questions, one kid asked them, because we're talking about Shaquan, he says, you know, out of all your records, what are you most proudest of? Jim Brown said, I never missed a
game. Oh, wow.
9 years, led the league in rushing 8 out of 9, had 1,800-yard rushing season, a 12-game season, the only man to win the Rookie of the Year MVP in the same year in the NFL, never missed a game. And Lynch told me he was all they had. He knew he was coming. They couldn't stop. My money, the greatest football player that ever played on the offensive side of the ball, to Jim Brown, on the defensive side of the ball, is Lawrence Taylor. You can have Jerry Rice, but you know, but Jerry Rice needs somebody to throw the ball for him. Jimmy Brown took care of his own blocking, but you know, but you just said, Nodge, you know, they need Shaquan, who's the nephew of Iron Barkley too, Dusty. But you know, the point is, Jim Brown. He's that's his uncle, Iron Barkley, the only man to beat Tommy Harris twice. Okay, and I think he would beat Hagler straight up, but. You know, the durability of today's back. And I know I'm going to hold you another second. I think it's ludicrous in today's game that with the kind of money that and I'm paying you a guaranteed $35 million out of $42. I'm paying Dusty $25 million out of $30. But I don't want to put natural grass on the field. I'm getting money from TV locally and internationally. I'm getting money from radio locally. Why can't I put – And Eric Swan, you guys remember Eric Swan, especially you, Nod. We talked a long time ago, and he said every year they give a questionnaire to the players. You want AstroTurf or you want grass? The players overwhelmingly want grass. I don't understand, Nod, with this kind of money I'm putting on the field. Why? For my investments. Nod, your thoughts.
Well, NFL owners, historically cheap, NFL owners look at the players as replaceable. So, yeah, it makes sense for NFL owners to do it. It's a terrible idea, though, like you said. How many knees have been taken out because people are playing on that turf? And at this day and age, you would think they would rethink all of this. But we'll see, man. They want to run franchises on the cheap and make tremendous profits but don't want to invest in their own damn product.
Okay, Nas, here's another one. Here's another one, too, Dustin. You too. What's that one? I think every field. And pro football right now should be domed. How in the world do you think about putting a dome up? MetLife, you got to. I think every, especially in New York, how do you not have every football stadium? Your thoughts, Nas, you suggesting that's not domed?
Because of the fact that there's the cost factor. Dome is millions of dollars. You have to automatically open and close the breakdown, the mechanics involved, the money that costs to maintain the dome. And to get your back on the grass, you know, it's cheaper to have the artificial turf because you don't have to solder it, you don't have to plant seeds, you don't have to water it. Artificial grass. And the fact of the matter is, the ownership is paying so much money. They don't care if your cleats get stuck in there and your ankle goes left and your knee goes right. They don't care, you know, because you're replaceable. But
you know what? Our man Wings used to say about the NFL. Hey, Nas, he used to say, and you guys can hear it. He said the NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah, not for long. Probably right, because of the fact that the football player is replaceable. I mean, the athlete is replaceable. They got a lot of dudes sitting on the bench, and they got the practice squad, and they got the dudes still in college. So these guys are replaceable. But to take care of that, regular grass costs a lot of freaking money. And then wintertime, when it's over, it's less maintenance because of artificial turf. I mean, that's what they do. To me, that's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is more safer for the player to have.
Grass. Your thoughts.
Baseball.
I agree with Dusty, man. Like, yeah, this is about a cost situation. They're looking at it as we can always get another one in the draft. They don't see the players as that valuable. This is how they think. But the silly part of it is, if you put up a dome, that what? Enhances passing. You want to sell the NFL as a passing high-scoring league anyway, so
exactly.
It would make sense so you had a dome because then you take out the weather element. Y'all
exactly.
know, y'all in New York, so y'all seen Giants games where the winds are going to a certain degree to where you really can't pass that day. So
you
eliminate that,
you know,
right.
People flying
save everything.
And the point you're making, too, because that was one of the reasons why, you know, the Jets didn't like Shea Stadium because there was days between the planes and the wind. And you know, the wind. But now here's another thought. We'll start with you, Nas. Here's another thought. Are the owners not concerned about the welfare of the players because it's 85% black? Nas?
I'm sure that plays a part in it as far as how these people think. Like, we saw who they donated to. Like, we looked at last year. We saw, you know, which party they donated to, what presidential platform they agree with. And, you know, the other part, like, let's just be real about it. The NFL has a 7-round draft for a reason. NBA, 2 rounds, and most of the people in the second round won't make it. MLB, as you all know, great MLB players, man, it's hard to make it to the show. You can stay in the minors your whole life. But in the NFL, you can always find an athlete who can run a 4.5 and lift 250 30
mm-hmm.
times. So that's the difficulty of it.
The reality is that they have a lot of, I hate to say it, but they have a lot of stepping fetches in football and basketball. And they can get a whole bunch of them out there, but the fact of the matter is that they know that they're expendable. You get rid of one, get another one. But they're not going to improve the safety for these guys. Because they know that these guys are replaceable, and these guys will do anything, just like a slave, to do everything for the master. Because they want
that
to tell.
Tote that bell, get a little drunk.
Exactly.
And you land in jail. Gentlemen,
yeah.
We're going to let it go. Nas, closing thoughts.
Yeah, just going off, bouncing off what Dusty just said, and then think about how weak the NFLPA is, because the average NFL career is 3.5 years. So the idea is I got to get this money while I'm in my prime, while I can.
Exactly.
So that kills your negotiating power. So every deal you're taking less, every situation you're taking less. And think about the Tua situation Dusty brought up earlier. Well, today Teddy Bridgewater got hurt on the first series.
Absolutely.
And they got a rookie quarterback out there.
Thank
so
you.
Now the pressure goes back on Miami to try to get Tua to go play the next game.
Exactly.
Now, will we fold the play? We're going to see.
Exactly.
Okay, just
one
thoughts.
Of the greatest quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, is now damaged goods. What can you do?
Yeah. Just your closing thoughts besides that?
Well, you know, besides you fighting with me every day, I will slap you.
Well, come on, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, Jesse. Who loves you, baby?
Oh, thank you, Doc. Oh, I love you, too. Look.
Tell everybody good night in Spanish, babe.
Look, the thing is that we have to have this as time flies more often because we have so many healthy different points of view, and you know we all right as we see this, you know. So
Amigo,
2 + 2 = 3 + 1 = 4.
Yeah.
Amigo, mi hermano, say God bless, and let's get together again. Thank you. Gracias.
Yeah, I'll be hitting you next, man. It's so good to have you back with us. And stay in touch, Nas.
Take care.
We'll do, man. Y'all be safe, man. Take care.
Yeah. And, Dodge, you got my email, docstanley@aol.com. Send me a photo, man, so I can put in a collage here, too.
All right, man. We good?
If you do, he's going to blackmail you. Watch it.
Okay, and the birthday boy, Edgar, you want to say goodnight to everybody?
Yeah, so it was a great talking with everyone. I think we had great conversations. Jets won, Giants won. Let's see if the Mets could cap it off for a great day in New York sports.
Yeah, we'll see about the Mets. Yeah, okay. What about the Yankees?
Oh, the Yankees are already winners.
Oh, already winners. Okay, you got it. We have
they won already today?
City, right?
No, they're already in the next round.
Oh, yeah, next round. Okay. All right.
Okay,
all right.
God bless.
Gentlemen,
Larry Hardesty, come on, Larry. Say goodnight to us, baby.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And that, let's close it out. What's in Depth? Get Dolphins just. What's in Depth with Doc Lindley, Melvin, Doc Stanley, Penis, Quest Posse, Dusty, Glenn, Mr. Noble. Birthday boy, A.J. Torino, Nas and Olana, NPN Sports Host, and the First Lady of the Sweet Science, the legendary Lady A. Sports in Depth is in-depth informative education and total look for global sports, and this is renowned legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. The version will both a daily and historical perspective, and also both an in-depth look perspective, not only on sports about science, but two of the players and performers of the third events, both now and yesterday. Sports in Depth, a.k.a., also brings us unique strategy of sports from an NFL perspective. Not just athletics, because it takes raw, God-given talent. So it too takes a God-blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, belief of competing and confidence. So in-depth knowledge, diverse intellect, the Doc Iconic Posse. Sports in Depth is too, the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again. Both the rumors, all kind of laugh issues, and bring it to. As you eat right, exercise, think about it, only means you may be healthier than me, but not a better person. Involvement and interjection into the evil of racism and mostly all talk. So how bad it is, how about the reality, how much is constantly being dumbly done to make it worse, accepted, simply hidden, not anything really actually done to delete. That is embedded inheritance in our society, country, and world. That's how it works with wisdom and truth. Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, and the Trust and God Radio Network. It's a happy birthday to the birth of Edgar Serino. The Jets are going to win the game. It's going to be a winning Sunday in New York in football. Will the Mets make it a winning night, too? We'll find out. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, Trust and God Radio Network. Trust in God, 100%. Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Trust in God, 100%.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Thank you.
Good boy. Enjoy the show. You off? Are you going with?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, one more time. Happy birthday to Edgar Torino and Max Dallas. What's on that blog at the radio? On the Trust and Government Network. And it seems that with 424, the Justice Man kind of feel that they may have won a game at home, proved a winning record, and made it a winning Sunday in New York. Max Dallas, what's on that blog at the radio? Trust and Government Network. Seems like Cleveland is going to lose again. Who's missing Baker Mayfield? Nobody.